All right, let's get right at it, because it is going to be the fastest hour in hockey. It's the Real Kipper and Born Show special one-hour edition. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver. I got to get the sponsor.
All right, okay.
This hour of Real Kipper and Born brought to you by Bet365. What a night in the National Hockey League. Unfortunate that Calgary is now eliminated, but Sammy doesn't care.
Okay.
No, it doesn't care. So I'm like, this is a national show, yes. Sammy, and, you know, across we're going to spread the love around. And he's like, no, just Toronto Maple Leafs. You know, I get upset with him with the jersey. Yeah. If he hangs a Leaf jersey on our national hour.
I don't like it.
I don't, you know, spread the love, but
okay.
Sammy wins today because the Leafs clinched a division for the first time since he was let out for recess, okay? And we're going hard on the Leafs
okay.
because our producer says so.
I don't agree with this decision, but if Sam wants to,
oh my God. If I could only expose the group chat from last night. Sammy. Yep, I'm in. All good. Yes, boy. Hey. This is the first time we've had a pre-show meeting in 4 years, and it was 1 second before we started. And you're like, well, you know, 15 minutes on the Leafs, 20 minutes on the Leafs. It's not our fault that the Blue Jays played this afternoon.
Go Jays.
And they won. 11-8.
Yes.
11 wins. Most wins in the American League, by
buzzing.
The way.
Buzzing.
Vladdy, first home run of the year. It's not our fault that our show got cut short.
Yeah.
We have a massive Toronto Maple Leafs audience in Toronto.
I think we've got massive fans in Hawaii,
in Munich, Germany. A guy DM'd me today. All over the country, all over the world. We're going Leafs. Sorry to Canada.
We're going to get to all the other teams in the back
after. Yeah, we'll give you 5 minutes.
Including Montreal with a big game that you like.
Game tonight.
He's on the panel. He'll talk about it then. It's right after this. It's on TV tonight. He can talk about it then.
As long as you don't pull a Sammy and say, I'm not talking Montreal. The Leafs clinched a division.
No, I don't think they'd let me do that. I don't think that would be okay. I did want to point out, so just to make people across the country feel better, I want to roast the Leafs for 1 second.
Oh, boy.
Last night I saw on the broadcast they posted division titles in franchise history.
Mm-hmm. Three.
Six.
Six for the Leafs?
From 1932 to 1935.
32. I thought we were going 67.
Then in 1938, and then the year 2000, then 2021. That's their six division titles. Franchise history, 100 years.
Yeah, that really sucks.
Not good. Well, it's not good.
Yeah, it's not good, which makes Sammy that much more appreciative. And I don't know, do you want to petition for a parade or anything?
Here's what I'll say, that the Leafs have been around for so long, mm-hmm. and I've been watching this Boston Celtics doc on Crave, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And there's just generation after generation of greatness where it's just like, you know, it's, I don't need to go through the names, Russell to Bird to, you know, now it's incredible. And it's just, that should be what the Leafs are like. You know, it should have been when they won a lot when there were six teams and then they just never did again. It's like sick tradition, guys.
Sick.
Great job.
But, so we'll give them credit. They finally got one across the line.
They clinch a division title, as Justin said, for the third time since the expansion era.
Mm-hmm.
And we are now set for a battle of Ontario, which a lot of people want to see around this. Doesn't have the cachet of a battle of Alberta, but in 2 weeks.
You're so afraid of the national
could
audience.
Be different.
It's amazing.
I'm not allowed to mention the battle of Alberta,
no,
Sammy.
No, but you're a different guy right now than you usually are in the Leafs. Like, I can just feel it. You're like, of course our friends in Alberta and across the country.
But I'm very respectful.
I get it.
I'm very respectful.
You know, I will say I am surprised at the tone around the Battle of Ontario and what people are expecting.
Mm.
You know, everyone I see seems to be picking Sens. I saw Frank Cervelli pick the Sens.
Yeah.
I see today, Ann Lauer had the quote or yesterday or something where he said, yeah, they haven't had a lot of success, but they have a different owner now. You know, they're feeling it.
I have to say, it's an easy, like, if you're a hot take guy,
hold on, it's the easiest pick in the world.
Like, so, it's not
Ann Lauer is the difference maker in this series.
I can't say that the quote didn't catch my eye.
Is he playing center or right wing on a line with Brady Kachuk, Michael Ann Lauer?
Yeah, that remains to be seen, but the exact quote was, I know we've had hard luck in the Battle of Ontario, but they've got a new owner right now. All right. Hey, listen, this Sens team has grit.
Is Michael Anlauer going to be the biggest star in the next 2 weeks?
No, I hope so.
I do think it takes some of the, you know, it applies a little bit of pressure when people are expecting them to win this series, or at least it should be close, right?
I mean, how many people have picked the Sens already? Like, it's just such an easy target where the Leafs have crashed out famously. The Sens have owned the Leafs in the regular season, much like when I was a kid, and then the Leafs would win in the playoffs. And it's just, it's an easy, easy target. And everyone's doing it, and I hope they continue to do it. I really do.
Okay, for Sammy McKee's local followers and listeners, let's listen to Craig Berube on the Battle of Ontario.
Oh, yeah, he's thrilled.
Well, they're a good team. They obviously have made a push this year to be where they're at. Like I said, they got a core group of young players that have been together for a while, and they've gotten over that hump and made the playoffs. And, you know, they're a very good team. The goaltender, Ullmark, has gotten there, and he's a solid goalie, big guy in net. So they're a very good team. It'll be a battle. You know, I was never here for the Battle of Ontario, so I can't comment on the past.
He's so excited.
Yeah, I don't know that matters to him.
No, I think the thing that sticks out to me in that clip, and listening to him post-game last night, we can get to some of the other clips, but I don't want to piss off national television.
Let's just plow ahead.
But he said, he's very consistent with his tone all year long. Like,
I thought about that today. And
never been
to
up.
His credit.
Never been two up. Never been two down. Like, he barely could get out a positive thing to say about the game last night when they asked him off the top. Like, his consistent message all year has been a breath of fresh air.
And to the credit of the players, over 82 games, they've kind of followed this blueprint. Like, yeah, there were some weeks, 7 days, 8 days, 9 days where they've lost three in a row, but it didn't get to five. It didn't get to seven. It didn't get to the point where people were all over them. It was minimal in terms of the setback, but they maintain this feel of we're gonna build this thing from the net on out.
And they never once set fire to their own. They never created their own drama this year. You know, like, that was Craig Berube. Yeah, we lost three in a row. We're okay. Yeah, we won three in a row. We're okay. And here we sit going into game 82 tomorrow night. And it feels like it's been a less eventful, less stressful year. You know, some of these years with Sheldon and, you know, just what the team had been through, it felt exhausting. I don't know that this year felt that way, which is, you know, to their credit.
I mean, just look at the way last year ended and think of the feel of the Toronto Maple Leafs going into the playoffs. Like, that awful chase for 70, trying to get Willie to 100 points, losing when they lose four in a row to end the year last year.
I was going to say, Michael Amato had a good tweet about that.
Yeah, lost four in a row to end the year last year. It was just a bad feeling. Bobby McMahon got hurt. Like, Willie was banged up. And then you flip it to this year. Mitch Marner gets his 100th point. Nylander gets to 45 goals. Matthews gets his 400th. They've won four in a row. There's positive talk. Different matchup in the playoffs. It's different. It's different this year.
I mean, whether they win or lose, it's different.
It's technically different.
Yeah. Let's go to Craig Berube on how he thinks they won the Atlantic Division.
You know, we had some guys, obviously, this year that have did some great things individually. You know, Willie, 45 goals. Mitch, 100 points. Austin's 400 goal. You know, we can go down the line. JT, you know, almost getting 40 goals. I mean, we had a lot of guys individually do some real good things. But, you know, the team played a real good, strong, you know, team game throughout the season, in my opinion, defending and doing the little things right and playing for each other. And, you know, fortunately, we were, you know, in the position to win the division.
Last night, it took, the last few minutes before Mitch Marner got on the score sheet, and then Austin fell into place with the 400th, but it wasn't feeling very good going into Thursday night if these guys didn't hit this milestone.
Yeah. You know, to me, much more the Marner one, because that one mattered. And the Matthews one, I'm...
I think he's going to get it next year.
Yeah. So, but the Marner one was definitely like, oh, like, didn't want to have that conversation of, like, should they play him?
And how much does he play?
Right. So, nice. And I think that's what a lot of people tweeted. I tweeted, and a bunch of other people did, too, why you kind of hope there's some different vibes going forward.
And according to Sammy, we could never refer to him ever as a 100-point guy.
Yes. Now he's there.
But now you can.
He got it.
And he got it.
Credit to him. I mean, he did it. The first time he ever did it was in a contract year. So that's good.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Well done.
And how many guys this year have 100 points? Is he five? Is it five or six, guys?
It is a very difficult mark to get
career. And he's only the, I think they put it in here that he's only the fourth Leaf to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gilmore, Sittler, Matthews, and him.
Which is, again,
pretty sad.
Really sad.
It's sad.
It's
some tough franchise.
It's really. And here's the crazy part. His last night should have been his fourth 100-point season.
For sure.
Right?
Yes.
Like, under different circumstances, whether it was an injury, like, if you look at his numbers, how close he's come. 3 years ago, he was at 97 in just 72 games.
And he did 99 once, too, right?
And he did 99, and they sat him out.
Yeah.
The last game.
And guess what? If he hadn't got it last night,
I'd have done it again.
I would have done it again, buddy.
But it's just, it's phenomenal that the way this guy has been able to produce year in, year out.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
You got Brube got asked kind of about him building on the 100 points and going towards the playoffs and, you know, if that's going to help him or that sort of thing. And this was his response to it. So clip three, please, on Marner.
Well, I mean, he's played really good hockey this year. I mean, so I don't know why he would end going into the playoffs. Like, I don't know, you know, the season is a season, and now there's another one that's starting up. You know, he's just got to keep doing what he's doing. You know, he's done a great job of doing things for us the right way throughout the year, penalty killing, power play, 5-on-5, along with everybody else. So, you know, we got one more game, and then we'll get dialed in for playoffs.
I don't know how the question was framed, but mm-hmm. I guess it was like, do you think him hitting 100 points will help him?
Yeah, help him going towards the playoffs.
Maybe one of the stupidest questions of the year.
Oh, okay.
Has nothing to do with anything.
Why would it help him? Like Greg said, like, so yeah. 99 or 101 or 103 is a difference? It's going to make a difference for him, who's played almost 700 games in the NHL and another, 60 in the playoffs? It's going to help him. Well, who is asking this question?
I think it's a fair question.
Why?
I mean, you look at, like, he clearly cared about it. Like, yes. I haven't seen him that happy after a goal. He bust his buddies in to watch his moment.
So
he's pointing to him after the goal. Yeah.
This is going to help him be happier in the playoffs.
Well, I feel, like, not feel frustrated, not feel, you know, if you mentioned he got hurt or he got benched, not feel ripped off. He got to where he wanted to get. I think it's, you're looking at a better vibe.
Yes.
You know, and...
Yeah, this guy... He just plays every game, every situation. You never have to worry what you're going to get out of this kid.
Well, but people would disagree with that.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I mean, we see it differently then.
Yeah.
But
for sure. We established that.
I do not see.
We've yelled at each other multiple times about it.
This guy shows up. And if you sit there and you say he doesn't produce in the playoffs or he's not physical enough.
Yeah.
He is what he is.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
Him hitting a milestone like 100 points will not change this guy.
Okay. I just think that it's fair to tie him reaching a regular season goal that he's never gotten to, building up his confidence, have him feeling the best he's ever felt going into the playoffs. I think it's fair to draw the two.
Why don't you just ask, do you think it'll help him resign?
Well, I don't think they want to ask that. Yeah, you could ask Brube that.
Right.
He'd be like, what? Yeah.
That's probably in the same family of that question for me.
Yeah. At this point, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just really locked into the playoffs. Well, that's 2 weeks from now's issue.
Oh, that's pessimistic.
All right, Sam, where else do you want to
go? At least in five.
Where else do you want to go with your Maple Leafs?
Okay, so now it's just on me, eh?
Well, let's do the bottom six, because we still don't know. They're still testing these various looks in the bottom of the lineup. Pacioretty, we don't know if he's in. We don't know if Robertson's going to stay in. Sounds like, by the way, last night, Lawton, for me, best game as a Maple Leaf.
For sure.
Like, we're seeing some signs.
Just starting to kind of relax and let it all hang a little bit.
He seems looser. So, you know, and even Robertson getting a goal, that just, like, I feel like some of those guys that you want to have some success in the postseason maybe are finding it a bit.
All right, Craig Berube, clip six on his third line.
Yeah, they've been very good together. I thought they were good in Carolina. Homer, for me, you know, he's skating extremely well and so strong on pucks and getting separation. And Robbie and Bobby have great speed in that line. So, like, to me, they're just – they're defending well. They're on top of things. They take time and space away from the other team. And they're doing a good job of countering off that with their speed and creating opportunities for themselves. So they've been a good line for us, and it's great to see.
Buddy, Yarncroft's not going to play in playoffs, is he?
Well –
He loves Holmberg. If he's bigging up Holmberg.
I don't take away Holmberg's heaviness.
Yeah. So you like him. We like Robertson's been, you know, the only dangerous threat down the lineup.
Yeah.
Pacioretty's in. Kampf's going to get healthy.
No, I don't think Pacioretty's in.
You don't, eh?
Listen, even Landeskog, okay, we've talked about, like, it's an amazing story.
Mm-hmm.
Putting these guys in, and obviously Pacioretty's not out 3 years, but he's out 2 months. Just plopping a guy into game one.
But if you're going to use him, the longer you go without using him, the harder it's going to be to ever use him.
No, that's not the case. That's not the case. I don't think that's the case. But I don't think that – I think you want to reward the guys that are healthy. If you're in a scenario where there's a key injury or a guy's not playing well – then it's a different scenario. You're paid to be ready no matter how long you've waited. But I don't see Pacioretty in game one with such a delay. And I think David Kampf's got to find himself back in the lineup too.
Well, me too.
Where are you on Kampf?
For sure. I mean, to me,
is he back in?
The most essential fourth liner they have, in my opinion. So you got Pacioretty out. I still think Yarncroft's probably out. You know, when you go through that lineup, it's Lorenz. Lawton's been better.
Yarncroft would be the only one.
Yeah,
but that line is showing some chemistry through these, I guess, last three games or so.
It's a good problem, but it is. It's a problem trying to figure out who's getting the first. Maybe it's not Robertson game one because they want a more physical tone setting type of game. That's probably true, actually. I bet you they skip him game one.
I think game one has the potential to be, like, well, we have a clip from Stolarz talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's in there. I didn't put it on the lineup, but it's in there, Derek. If you could play it, Stolarz. Yeah, here you go.
It'll be fun for sure. I think, you know, they're a hungry team. They, you know, haven't made playoffs in a couple of years here. So, you know, at the end of the day, I just think we have to continue to do what we're doing right now. I think, you know, we feel good about our game, and, you know, it's going to be it's going to be a bloodbath, going to be a little bit of a war. So, you know, we'll be ready.
At least
how many stories on Hockey Night in Canada will we get from Darcy Tucker, Shane Corson, Alfredson, Chris Neal? They're all coming back to tell that story.
Yeah. You know what I will be doing?
Eating it up.
That is a huge moment in building my Leafs fandom. Mm-hmm. Like, that is what I am built on, is that era of Leafs hockey. And to have this back is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope it's a bloodbath. Mm-hmm. I hope it's a war.
I think that plays in Ottawa's favor, although not for their D.
I don't know. I mean, if you want Brady Tkachuk to run around and act like an idiot, Greg to run around and act like an idiot, like, the Leafs power play has to be good.
They're not a bloodbath team, though. They're not a bloodbath team. Okay, no. So be careful what you wish for your Leafs.
Yeah, okay.
They're not.
They have to be willing to hang in there.
Hit back, and they'll be able to lean, but I'm not sure how greasy this will play in the Leafs' favor if it gets. That's all. Or else we're going to have to see a sign from the Leafs that we really haven't seen before.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see if they can get bodies on Sanderson, if they can get body on Shabbat. You know, that Klevenin, Montempolo, there's cracks in the armor there, even though they're big dudes.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be imperative to get on their defense. Because we know their forwards don't want to muck it. Or the Leafs forwards don't want to muck it.
Yeah.
And as far as the goaltending is concerned, we've watched Stolarz again last night where you could go, hey, Buffalo should add like 4 or 5 goals last night.
Yeah. Stolarz is 8-0 in his last 8 games, 3 shutouts.
Just getting better.
Yep. Elite goaltending.
Oh, as good as anything we've seen.
Absolutely.
I do think it's helped that they don't allow second chances. Like he faces a shot, kicks it out.
So maybe this is a value question, but like how much of the non-second chances is his rebound control?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
When he had his bad stretch, which mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know, he was a hair under 900, but like he was kicking him out a little bit more, but it just feels like they're hitting him and they're not going out.
Yeah.
So
to qualify for like the save percentage leader, you have to play 25 games. He's first in the NHL now. 926, I think,
this
season.
Oh, this past couple of weeks put him up about
He's ahead of Hellebuck, ahead of Vasilevsky. His numbers are tops in the league now. Yeah. So
give him credit, man. I think
came back from surgery like it never happened.
And I think if you held a lot of the Leafs organization with the true serum, who they would wanted to steal the job and take the job and be starting game one, I think a lot of them would have said Joseph Woll, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think he's here longer, he's paid a little bit more. He seems to be he's the younger guy. He's like sort of the future goalie. And Stolarz just kind of stole it. Like he really has taken it and run.
Did we play Berube on him yet?
Or should we did not. Let's play it.
Clip 4, please.
Yeah, I've seen it for a bit now where he's just very calm in net. And like I talk about reading the play, tracking the puck and things like that. Just like in that 6-on-5, you know, at the end they had some opportunities, but he did a good job of tracking the puck and getting in position. He's a big guy, so if he's capable of getting position, there's not a lot of room there. So he's played big in net for me, you know, and he's done both goalies have done a great job for us all year.
Yeah, there is ability to go post to post when it's across crease, or not cross crease, but even top of the circle, that seam pass.
So big, he's at both posts. You know, he doesn't challenge out
all
too
over
hard.
I'm telling you, you watch the conversations the Ottawa Senators have on getting
on, fall get, all over him.
Getting on top of this guy.
Yeah,
it's going to be Nick Cousins and Greg are going to be trying to fall on him.
Yeah.
Okay. Kipper.
Leafed out. We got
Hold on. Goaltending matchup with we're going to have tons of time to break this down, but quickly before we have to stop talking about the Leafs. Ullmark has been brutal in the playoffs.
Yeah, his not great playoff numbers yet.
Not great, you say?
Oh, are they quite bad?
They're very bad.
Yeah, he's got a lot to prove.
Well, it's not good.
Yeah, in 10 career playoff games, which is not 0 career playoff games, he's got a 3.59 goals against and an 8.87 save percentage. He's been putrid in the playoffs.
he's going to have to.
Dramatic.
He's going to have to come close. I mean,
yeah, no, you're right.
Those are Marc-Andre Fleury versus the Flyer numbers. Like, those are really bad.
He has to be the best player in this series for Ottawa to have a chance.
And I think he can be that. You know, he is. Mm. We've seen him for stretches over the past month. Look,
but the Leafs
as good as any goalie in the league.
Leafs have the advantage in net.
Yeah.
They do.
Right.
Which is something they haven't had.
You know, give it a coin toss for me.
No way. They've both been really good.
Yeah, but that's not different circumstances now.
I'm going to avoid every other game of his career for
like,
those 10.
You can sit there and argue Stolarz has never faced anything like this before ever. Like, you've got the numbers there, but people got Stolarz at inexperience and never having the pressure of a playoff series in his life at his age now, and you can argue both sides of it. So, but there's no question Stolarz probably feels a little better coming into this series than Ullmark right now. But Ullmark's got a lot to prove.
Yep. Does he ever.
At $8.25 million a year.
True. Good to go on post-Leafs.
I'm not the producer of the show, bud.
Well, maybe we should let the producer decide. Do you want to...
Anything else you want to discuss on your Toronto Maple Leafs?
I'm just really excited.
I know. We can tell.
I think it's... awesome, and sorry to. It's awesome for.
It's okay, Sammy.
I know, but you're making me feel like I said during the Don Waddell story, I have an extremely guilty conscience, and you're making me feel awful for being excited about the first Battle of Ontario since I had an afro. So I'm really excited.
So today?
No, I'm thrilled. No, you should. I'll show you. I'll get some pictures for everybody to show my hair.
We're aware of that,
but it's going to be really fun.
We gave a lot of time on our national show. Tons.
I don't care.
I don't care. But
all right,
just for the sport, it's great that this is getting reignited. Because, you know, everybody's sick of seeing Tampa and Toronto in the first round, Boston, Toronto in the first round. Something new. Two Canadian teams heading to, it's awesome.
And now we get Florida-Tampa Bay, which, unbelievable series. Yes. I'm thrilled about that. Dallas-Colorado is going to be amazing. Edmonton-LA, we got some awesome first-round matches.
Do you know what else is really good for our sport? A point for the Montreal Canadiens tonight.
Mm.
A game that our Justin Bourne will be featuring on Sportsnet Wednesday Night Hockey.
The man we're talking to in the pre-show, Nick Suzuki.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking
are
forward
you,
to that.
Are you? Did you tell him that right now I don't have you a top 25?
Listen, I got killed on that. Immediately after I said, that's too harsh.
Listen, I'm wrong 50. A lot.
But anyway, no, I didn't.
Yeah, 15?
Yeah.
For sure we can go 15,
sure, 12
20.
If you like. But yeah, we'll have the, we're going to ask him a little bit about.
They've been cooled off a little bit, Caulfield, Suzuki.
Yeah. But, you know, they deserve a lot of credit, and I think he deserves foremost credit. But, of the Canadians for getting them to this point. He's had an incredible season.
Carolina is bringing nobody, by the way.
What can we expect out of Carolina tonight?
Anyways.
Come on.
A lot of Skylar Brindamore tonight.
Got to be able to get 1 point out of this hockey game.
Carolina's not dressing their team.
Let's do game time.
Okay.
It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So we're getting lots of the series confirmed here now. And the only one that isn't confirmed is either the Habs or the Columbus Blue Jackets. Probably the Habs. They'd never blow this, the Habs. Playing against a crappy team with no players on it that doesn't care. They'd never blow this tonight.
Wow. Setting them up.
So that's the only series that isn't confirmed, but all the other ones now have lines for the series. And since Kipper loves talking about the Leafs so much in this series, the Leafs are big favorites in their series.
Yeah.
According to Bet365, they are -180 favorites. +150 for the Ottawa Senators on the other side. And listen, if you are a Ottawa Senators fan, if you're a Leaf hater, or you're a Leaf fan looking to do the big happiness hedge, that's a pretty good number for the underdog. The other ones that have now been confirmed, Vegas, did I do that one yesterday? I can't remember. Vegas in Minnesota, -240 for the Vegas Golden Knights. The St. Louis Blues are +175 underdogs against the Winnipeg Jets. Jets talk. Jets are -210 in that series. And the Lightning and the Florida Panthers, now confirmed, is a toss-up.
Oh, really?
-115, -105. They have no idea. Wow. So I guess the Lightning are slight favorites in that, but it's a tough one.
I did, on Sportsnet.ca, a Western Conference preview prediction sort of thing. And I was looking at the Jets and the Blues. Goals for per game, goals against per game, power plays per game, or power plays, penalty kill, mm-hmm. team save percentage. In every single category, the Jets are at least 10 ranking spots higher than St. Louis. They are favorites. They're heavy favorites.
They
missing Ehlers hurts. Hurts bad. But
yeah.
They.
Oh, and I
was there for them.
What do we make out of the shellacking last night for the Florida Panthers at Tampa?
Hold on. Just before we go, I'm going to do one more thing and we'll get out of this.
All right.
Then we'll hit a break. And the last thing I want to bring up, the game you're on tonight, mm-hmm. On the panel on Sportsnet National. Good game nationally. This could have turned out to be not a great game.
We were aware.
Yeah. Who are you on the panel with today, Borny?
We got Gaz, DA, and Sammy Cause.
Love it. The Montreal Canadiens, as huge favorites, would never blow this game. -150.
What are you doing?
-150, the Montreal Canadiens tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes that are bringing the B squad. +125.
Dimitrov is playing on a line with Patrick Laine tonight. I mean,
back check city. Anyways, that was game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play the stats, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. It's 19+, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Dimitrov passing, Laine shooting. We got Hull and Oates.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll let Sammy get out of his Leaf mode and go big picture stuff.
All right.
Okay.
We'll talk NHL suspensions, non-suspensions, the Tkachuk brothers, which one's going to be ready to start game one and which one won't.
Tkachuk.
That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne. As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, as mentioned, right across our network. Carolina Hurricanes, Montreal Canadiens, 7 p.m. puck drop, 6:30 is our pregame show with Justin Bourne and three other guys.
In my car salesman suit.
That's why you're wearing that, because you have to literally sprint to get there in time.
I'm tired of doing the panic change, so I pre-change. I'm dressing like Kip now.
It's a nice suit.
Who? Yeah, really sharp.
You look good.
Did you see on the internet our event we did the other day? You and like you look like a male supermodel.
he is a he's a hunk,
and we don't adhere to dress code.
Like you're not me, I'm good looking guy.
Yeah, I'm a skid. He's a hunk.
you clean up nice too.
Yeah, once in a while.
Kip and I are in jackets.
Would you like to know who is not playing for the Carolina Hurricanes?
Love
tonight?
To know.
Sebastian Aho, Jackson Blake, Jalen Chatfield, Seth Jarvis, Jordan Martinook, Jacob Slavin.
Oh, my goodness.
Jordan Stahl.
Old Ivan Demidov's going to eat them
How about
alive.
That pig in the wagon that they pulled out a few years ago in the playoffs? Is he dressing tonight?
He's playing tonight? D tonight. That is substantial. I heard that those guys aren't even in Montreal, so there's no chance of them showing up. You're getting a lot of Skyler Brindamore, as I mentioned before the break, and there's another name that I don't know
right now. This is Rod's son, of course.
Yep. First NHL game, maybe?
Here's the lines from the morning skate for them. Svechnikov, Kotkaniemi, Taylor Hall, Robinson, Jankowski, Roslovic, Carrier, Brindamore, Stankoven, Jost, and Nadeau, Orlov, Byrne, Gostisbehere, Walker, Stillman, Morrow, and Kotchikov in the starter's crease.
Not terrible.
Here's what I'll say. Still not that bad.
Not that terrible.
Not that bad.
I tell you, you couldn't take six guys out of Leafs lineup and be okay.
No.
No point for Montreal tonight.
Yeah.
And they miss the playoffs. This will be devastating.
But there's a number of ways for this to happen, right? You know, like they can get 1 point and get in. Columbus can drop a point. Yeah. Columbus can even win in overtime don't win tonight and still get in.
Columbus is
2 points back, 87-89.
Yes.
They have the same amount of regulation wins.
And they go Thursday, correct?
They go tomorrow night, yep.
Tomorrow night. And they would need to win in regulation.
Yes. That would put them ahead because the Habs have more regulation overtime wins, but the same amount of
against the New York Islanders.
Columbus has the Islanders in Columbus tomorrow. So, yeah, go and get your point. Caulfield, Suzuki, Slaff, of course. Demidov, Newhook, Laine, Gallagher, Dvorak, Anderson, Heinemann, Evans, Armia are the forward lines. So,
all right.
Should be fun. Fun game tonight.
And we have a new pronunciation for Demidov?
Ivan. Like Ivan Cornwallier.
Ivan.
Ivan.
Wow. Yeah.
He's no Ivan.
He looked up and he saw the where his number's going to be soon. He's like, I have to look up there and respect Ivan Cornwallier.
Ivan.
My number will be up Demidov. There soon just because everybody tells me how great I am.
Okay. Yesterday I said I thought for sure Darnell Nurse would end up with two games for his cross check on Quinton Byfield the other night. He just gets the one game.
One game that he may not have dressed anyway.
Clearly the league doesn't want to mess with a very interesting series starting in Los Angeles game one.
Yeah.
They cut him some slack on this one. Don't you think?
It was like a 1.5-er to me. You know, it's a 1.5 game suspension would have been perfect, but you can't do that apparently, so.
Make him sit out the first series like it's college football.
Yeah.
That's right. You can come in after that. Yeah.
Under normal circumstances, this is two games all day long.
Yeah.
And then over the course of the last few years, we hear all these little details on, you know, scenarios. Was a guy, could he defend himself? Was he vulnerable? Mm-hmm. Time on the clock, the score. There wasn't a lot of things going for Darnell Nurse in this scenario.
No, reasonably light suspension history. The force wasn't that great.
Telling you right now, it's a joke.
Oh, you know, I really don't like that one?
You got to miss two. You got to, like, it's not a one-game suspension. I know, like, you're doctoring because of situation. Is it or is it not?
Mm-hmm.
If that guy's a Leaf, he's kicked out of the league.
I will say.
I'm telling you right now, he's getting 10 games if he's on the Leafs.
There are people.
Two playoff series.
We stopped talking about the Leafs in the first block.
That's that is such a soft decision by the league. I'm sorry. That's horrible.
Cross-checking is a common penalty in the game.
He drove the guy's head in the ice.
And can usually be penalized by the on-ice officials.
Yeah, right.
The Oilers, I know some of the, Jason Greger's done a lot of like work on this, that there's way less penalties in the NHL this year. And that's a significant punishment to the Oilers. If you call penalties where there's penalties, and we have two of the best players on earth, I know their power play, you know, for the year is only 10th or whatever it is in the league, but they're a team that would benefit from the rule book being called the way it's supposed to be called. Yeah. So
I just think it's crazy.
All right.
They got any shot at all without Ekholm back there?
Yeah, they got a shot.
They do,
they
eh?
They got the two best guys.
I know, but they don't.
I did my picks today.
They don't play defense.
I did my picks today.
Well, already?
I did, yeah.
Wow.
And I just can't see these being anything but close games. Low scoring, close games. The Kings are great defensively. I think it's going to be tight. And in a tight game, who do you think is going to score those goals? Like, it's not coming from Philip Deneau. It's those guys for me. So I can see why people are picking the Kings. I can see the injuries being a major issue. And, you know, maybe some guys will be playing at 80%. It's going to be a problem. They'll need Skinner to be good, but I cannot bet against prime McDavid.
McJesus.
Against the Kings.
Valid.
I'd do it.
Valid,
bet
but
against?
Yeah.
I just think that
Kings are better.
You still, this time of year, you have to win from the net on out.
I mean, the Kings are better this year than they've been
Darcy
in years
Kemper's
past.
Darcy Kemper's going to be on Vezina ballots.
Well, yes. Like, this guy, another level stuff, too.
Yeah. How about the Dubois? Was it Kemper for T.L. Dubois? Both guys just magically got better.
Worked out.
Yeah.
Worked out.
That's incredible. A good trade.
We hadn't talked about this Trenin Forbart thing.
Oh, yeah.
We hadn't mentioned it.
Supplemental discipline. That was on the weekend, I think.
Yeah, we missed that.
Or whatever.
Yeah, sorry.
Trenin Forbart fight. Good fight. They go down. They're both on the ground. And Trenin gets up first and just pops him one, breaks his orbital bone.
Yeah.
No supplemental discipline.
Ugly scene.
Curious your thought on what happened.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say Bob McKenzie on the broadcast last night thought no suspension. They're in a fight.
Didn't like it. I'm kind of with Bob a little bit on the fact that, like, when you're in a fight and, you know, you're locked into this, you're in this zone, and everybody's different.
Yeah.
Everybody can still have a thought on when they want to break up a fight or whether or not they want to throw the last punch. And then there's other guys that just shoot to kill, you know?
Yeah.
And I can't speak for him, but, like, a fight's a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And if I, there's a history there. Do I feel like this guy's a cheap shot artist? Like, there's so many other factors that as a viewer or a watcher, we're not privileged to know about. Mm-hmm. And sometimes all bets are off. I'm in a fight.
I'm
going to get a lick in whether or not you're vulnerable or not.
It is a, you know, almost a philosophical question. When's the fight over? You know, when you both go down on the ice, is that the official end of the fight? And if not, I think we've got a problem. I think it kind of needs to be like, all right, we're down. This thing's over. Otherwise, I think there's a lot of risk for danger. Here's a good example. You know, where people are compromised.
I also think
the scary scene though when they went out for him and he's out there.
I also think this is just a personal opinion that
of course
we kind of crossed a little threshold at Four Nations and
we
think about fighting, look at fighting, promote fighting, all of it. And I think it's taking a swing back, boys.
The pendulum was always coming back. It went too far.
Not like what I saw since the three fights in 9 seconds.
You're talking about public perception.
I'm talking about all of it. I'm talking about what the league wants to now promote.
And
Sportsnet's a national rights holder of the NHL hockey. They didn't shy away from showing the fights or leading it into some promotional stuff. And it's taking a different feel.
I
don't know if last night or this fight in particular may have kind of played into that. And it's like, no, sorry, a fight's
a
fight.
We want to encourage fighting.
Not encourage it, but at least not scare people off on it anymore.
I think it's fair to say that the league didn't have to give any supplemental discipline for all the reasons you mentioned. But it's also fair to say that for the players who saw that, that's a cheap shot. That's a vulnerable guy that you chose to take the shot, and
guys,
we won't forget that.
He's carrying that rep now.
I'm telling you, it's like, it's not for everybody. And there's always a fear whether you're falling down or you're in a vulnerable position or you're just standing up toe-to-toe. that some guy can cave your face in on one lick. And it plays a factor in a lot of things on whether or not guys want to pretend to be that guy, not pretend to be that guy. Intimidation, of course, this time of year, whether or not someone wants to call a bluff, not call a bluff, all of it plays in. Mm-hmm. But the most basic common denominator is one punch could potentially hurt you really bad.
My first fight in junior hockey, I was having a great game, 2 goals, 4 assists, my biggest game, junior B, feeling like, all right, I got to get my first fight out, you know, like really
Gordie
wrap
Howe.
It up.
And Gordie Howe hat-trick.
And I asked a guy to fight, and he started fighting me before I thought maybe we'd have a conversation or consensus, and he just decided that, yeah, he was interested in that. And I got punched so hard in the nose. The first one broke my nose. I mean, it couldn't see blood through the inside of my visor. You know, and it's like, it was a lesson for future fights that it's about when you need to be prepared to fight and when it ends. It's from the second you consider it until you're separated.
Until your nose is looking the other way.
Yeah.
I wrote about this, I think, last week in my Toronto Star article about my very first fight being in a, like, basic inter-squad game. David Bruce, second-round pick of the Vancouver Canucks at the time, gave it to me really good. Mm. He gave it to me so good that he actually called me over when we got off the ice and said, come here, I'm going to show you a few things.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
He was like,
and I'm like,
we got to fix this.
All right, do I need to bring a pen and a notebook? Because I need a lot of help.
Don't get punched in the okay.
Right?
Thank you.
But he said the most important thing is you got to fight with a little bit of anger and a little bit of, like, you got to really, really want to beat the other guy up. It's just not for looking over your shoulder and trying to appease the coach.
Right.
Like, you have to have some real purpose. And that's why sometimes that fine line of when to stop or when to not throw the first punch, if you get more experience at it and you stay a little calmer, at times you can sit there and go, well, okay, I'm not throwing this sucker punch.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you let it go.
It's crazy. You watch the end of a UFC fight and some guy gets knocked, knock the other guy down and it's clear he's out. And, you know, he'll land.
Boom,
the guy's
boom,
land three
boom,
more before the ref.
Three more.
It's like he's stop. He's already dead. Like,
player poll.
Oh yeah, we got some of that.
Player poll. NHL Players Association polled all their players.
Yeah.
How many categories?
12.
I just want to say shout out to Iafallo, who signed a 3-year extension to Winnipeg.
Jetstock.
Very deserving contract. Yep. Excellent year. Great fit for Winnipeg. Way to go.
So there's 12 categories. Have you looked at these?
I haven't.
Kipper, you have.
I did glance them.
Glanced. So you looked.
I did look.
Okay.
Yeah. Best. But I didn't read any of the details. Of
best overall goalie.
Vasilevsky.
Second. Shesterkin.
Hellebuck's 3.
Hellebuck is 3. So 31.1% of guys think it's Vasilevsky. 23.6% think it's Shesterkin. 15.6% of guys think it's Hellebuck.
Nuts for a guy who's going to win 3 Vezinas.
Bobrovsky,
Hellebuck needs a conference final or a Stanley Cup final to make him number one next year.
You know what's crazy? And I'll give you guys a little preview of the show we're doing tonight. One of the questions that we'll discuss is Hellebuck or Carey Price, better career, resume. And you laugh because you go, oh God, Carey Price. Check it out, pal.
Well, Carey Price.
I wouldn't have said that.
I would have.
Well,
of course. Carey Price went to the conference finals, went to the finals. Like, he had way bigger moments than Hellebuck has.
There's going to be his third Vezina, I think, this year.
Yeah, okay.
That's pretty good. That's what I remember.
You know, numbers are better or, comparable or better pretty much in every category. It's like, postseason, he hasn't.
Yeah.
Did Price go deep once?
Twice. He got hurt. They would have won the year that the Rangers went and played the Kings is when, who was it? Oh, Kreider ran him over.
Mm-hmm.
And they were dominating the Rangers. Then Marty St. Louis actually scored the overtime winner against Dustin Tokarski.
Okay.
So now the Habs coach. Anyways,
keep going. I want to hear the five top votes.
Best overall forward?
Okay, go there.
I mean,
Connor.
Connor, Nathan MacKinnon. Connor is 73%. Yeah. Nikita Kucherov, Sidney Crosby, Kirill Kaprizov are the top five.
Okay, who's missing from that?
Matthews.
Yeah. Carter. Yeah. Okay. Let's go back to your Leaf talk.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about the Leafs now?
Has
you want to talk about the Leafs now, eh?
Has he dropped? Has he dropped? much in perception?
There is one of the categories where it's best two-way forward, where he's third or something like that.
Oh, so you have looked.
I saw a preview that they put out. Most complete player.
But even on off seasons, MacKinnon and McDavid wouldn't fall out of a top five vote. Not in their worst year.
No. Most complete player, Sid is the number one with 33%. Barkov next with 30%. And then it's MacKinnon, McDavid, Matthews, and Kopitar. Are they rounded out?
Kopitar, still a major player.
What a player.
Best playmaker?
Cooch?
Yep. 48% of the vote. McDavid next, Draisaitl, Panarin, and Sid. So much Sid respect. If you need one face-off win, who do you pick? Sid,
yeah.
Ryan O'Reilly next. Kopitar.
Great radio, as I think.
Jordan Staal and Barkov is the top five for who you want to face-off. Smartest overall player.
Sid.
Who else? Give me five of the...
Kucherov, McDavid, Barkov, Adam Fox.
Adam Fox is not a dynamic player. He's smart.
Of a tough year. He's had a really tough year.
Best overall skater? McDavid.
Yeah. MacKinnon.
Makar, the second. Yeah. MacKinnon, Quinn Hughes, Jesper Bratt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is the one that Kipper wants to make. Who has the best fashion sense? David Pastrnak has the best fashion sense.
Yeah, that's actually...
And tied with Auston Matthews.
Auston Matthews does not have good style.
Willie.
The Leafs have two guys in this category. Great.
I'll give it to Willie.
They won the Balenciaga Cup. Great.
It's got to make... You feel good.
Really great. Who would be a good broadcaster once they retire? The number one is Kevin Hayes, and then Ryan Strome. Brad Marchand should be number one. Maroon. Eric Comrie, Eric Johnson, and Marcus Foligno are the tops there.
I like Maroon. Listen, as a pick.
If you've made like millions in your career.
Yeah, these guys just make them too rich.
I'm only here because these guys don't want to do it.
Exactly. Why would you want to do it?
Yeah.
It's work. It's real work.
Yeah. You got $40 million in the bank.
Oh, my God. And we have some 25-year-old producer.
25?
30.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, 25.
Can you imagine making $50, $60 million your career and having Sammy produce you?
What to do? Yeah.
I wrote
an article today. I'm doing radio. I'm going to TV later. They don't want to do this.
I've never once told you what to do except today. the best overall defenseman we skipped over, but it's Makar. 71% of the vote. Quinn Hughes, 7.44%. Victor Hedman, Roman Josi, and again, Adam Fox.
Roman Josi?
Yep.
Still doing that, are we?
Roman. You're not a big, huge Roman guy?
I guess, like, Nashville was so out of sight, out of mind this year. They were irrelevant by November.
He's off the charts good.
He really is good.
Except we don't really pay attention.
Which NHL arena has the best ice?
Edmonton.
The Bell Center.
You should have seen the ice up in Alaska, buddy.
44.96. You should see the ice at the Allen Fern Arena near Owensown.
Yeah.
Tractor on the ice. It was literally frigid. There you go. There's the player pool. Oh, and the... Which PWHL rulebook change would you like to see? So jailbreak goal was number one. So minor penalty ends shorthanded team scores.
Jailbreak is your team is shorthanded. You score a shorthanded goal. You get your person out of the box, too. It's a double reward.
I hate that.
It encourages you to push for offense.
I don't like it. Because you did something dumb or stupid, potentially. You don't get a mulligan.
You get to feel shame for two full minutes.
No good. You don't get a mulligan.
And picking your playoff opponent. Yeah. I'll take the 3-point standings.
The 3-2-1 points is the one. Mm-hmm. That's the best one. And I don't like the picking the opponent.
You're old.
I am. Well, I'm 25.
Apparently.
It's not. Just like that. That was a fast hour.
That was. Link.
Our apologies to Western Canada for Sammy McKee and his Leaf talk, but hey, listen, they won a division. Will you put up a banner up here, Sammy? Will Sammy put one up here in the studio?
You're a different guy in the National Hour. You're in the Leaf Hour, you're like, oh, the Leafs, I love the Leafs. You get in here, you're Mr. Western. Give me a break.
Make sure you write into Sammy on your Twitter. Tell them how much you love them. Back tomorrow.